Robinhood Radio presents Flavor Matters with Serge Matakians. He's the owner of Saravan Restaurant in Armenia. If you can't find him in the kitchen or gardens, then follow him either on Facebook or Twitter at Saravan NY.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. This is Serge from Flavor Matters and Saravan Restaurant. And I am continuing my conversations with Armenians around the world, and I am excited to be in conversation with writer, journalist Liana Agajanyan, who is an American Armenian via Tehran, Iran, just like me, and currently living in Los Angeles. I'll let her explain more about her travels and her whereabouts, but I'm very proud to say that her work has appeared in the New York Times, The Guardian, Foreign Policy, Newsweek, Food and Wine magazine just recently. She is also responsible for the immensely fruitful project called Dining in Diaspora, which explores the intersection of forced migration, identity, and cuisine, tracing the Armenian experiences in America and beyond through food. I am so excited to have you with us here on Flavor Matter. Barev, Liana Jan.
Mm-hmm. Barev, thank you so much for having me. I'm just as excited to talk to you today.
Yes. So, you know, we've known each other for a while via Instagram and social media. Just so our listeners are aware, today is the first time that you and I speak face-to-face without a, without text messaging or messaging. So that in and in itself is a wonderful experience. What I wanted to ask you about is you're an Armenian Iranian, born in Tehran, Iran. You came to the U.S. in Los Angeles as an immigrant, as a forced immigrant because of what was happening in our home country. And you went into journalism, and you have a degree in journalism and writing from Northridge in outside of just in Los Angeles County, just outside of Los Angeles. What took you to writing?
That's a big question. It was just something that I have gravitated towards all my life. The one thing that when I would do it, it would fulfill, you know, everything you want out of a career or a job. It's something that I've always gravitated towards too. Even as a young child going to school, I was involved in assembling a yearbook together. I was always on staff at the school newspaper. And so it was a very natural progression into getting a journalism degree and then doing it professionally.
So is that, I'm just again, for my curiosity, is that from a need to express or from a need to observe or from a need to not only observe but evaluate?
I think it's all of those things that you mentioned. One thing that I always say to kind of sum up why I'm so passionate about writing and, you know, with the journalism, there's also the aspect of meeting and speaking to people is that journalism is just my excuse to get to know the world. That's really it. It gives me an opportunity to meet people from every different background, an opportunity to speak to them, to learn about their issues, and that enhances my life. And I don't think there are too many professions that allow you to do that. And so journalism was just a wonderful way for me always to get to know the rest of the world.
So without getting too psychoanalytic here, do you think your experience, I mean, do you think about this? Because you've traveled to a lot of places that normally we don't think of vacationing. Various questions have interested you, not only food, but human rights, animal rights. How do you think your experience as a forced immigrant coming to the U.S., and please let us know at what age you came to the U.S. I know you speak Armenian, you speak Farsi, you write beautifully in English. How do you think your own experience compelled you into this analytic perspective that you have developed?
I think it had a profound impact on my perspective.
How old were you when you came?
I was 3 years old. And so I don't, obviously that experience at three is different from someone who, you know, has to migrate somewhere as an adult or even as an older child. There's a lot of things that I don't remember about that experience that well, but there was clearly an impact on me because the life in my house and my personal family life was very different than what was going on in the country we were in, which was the US. So, you know, you have these two sides of the story where you're living one life with your family and everything else is around you is very different. And I'm sure that that had an impact on me in terms of going into writing and wanting to hear other people's story. You know, the parts of the story that aren't told, that you don't get to talk about, that you only get to know if you start asking questions to someone and start spending time with them. And so even till now, you know, the writing experiences that I've had, it's always because of a curiosity of I'm hearing one thing, but I know that there's more to it than this. And I think that is reflected in anyone's story, you know, just point blank, but especially immigrant stories where you don't get every side all the time. And so you have to dig in a little bit more to understand all those perspectives. Yeah.
I 100% agree with you. I think as an immigrant, you come and there are certain ways that you see the world. There are certain ways that you interact with the world. There are certain ways that you see yourself in the world. And then you come home and your identity in home is very different. So naturally, there's a lot of internal dialect that takes place. A give and take, not a dialogue, a dialect, you know, trying to analyze like what is what. And I think for me, that was one of the reasons I studied history and philosophy, because I was very curious about that. So you started writing and you have been writing and you entered a contest in Detroit that ended up changing your life for a little while. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, it definitely did. So I entered a national contest sponsored by a nonprofit called Write a House. That's W-R-I-T-E, Write a House. And the premise was that they had bought houses in Detroit during the ongoing housing crisis there and renovated them, and wanted to increase the literary community of the city. And so they invited writers to apply for what they were calling a permanent writing residency, which meant that you would go to Detroit and live there for 2 years in a house. And after 2 years, if everything went well, they would give you the deed to the house. So essentially, you would be winning a house. And I entered and never expected to get anywhere, as one does. And I won the second house in the project. And so I moved to Detroit, having never been there before. It's just an extremely unique experience to say that your writing won you a house. It completely changed my life being in Detroit.
What a wonderful program, and what a wonderful, you know, a little bit from my urban planning background, a revitalization policy. Very, very creative. So I was reading about you, and you were in where were you when you found out that you won the house? You were on an assignment someplace.
Yes, I was spending a month in Mongolia. I was there on a reporting trip, so I heard the news from Mongolia. Yeah.
So you went back to Detroit, and in your writing, you got involved with not only the Armenian community, but what was around you. But one of the interesting things that I want to bring forward from that experience was your cooking with the women in the Armenian church. And if I'm recollecting incorrectly, please correct me. And your recent article in Food and Wine magazine. Can you elaborate on that a little bit for us and tell us not only how you felt, but what you found out?
Sure.
About the Armenian food and the Armenian people there.
Yeah. So I had never been to Detroit in my life or the Midwest before I moved there. And so I knew that it was going to be an experience that was in a lot of ways very different from my California, Los Angeles upbringing. And that also applies to the Armenian community there. Whereas in Los Angeles, you have a situation where there's Armenian communities that are very old and very new and somewhere in the middle mixing together from many, many parts of the world. In Detroit, the base of the community are third, fourth generation Armenian Americans whose parents, grandparents and great-grandparents survived the genocide, fled, and Detroit was the first place that they landed. And so their relationship with their identity and how they express it is different than how Armenian diaspora communities in Los Angeles, for example, express it. And
you really quickly distinguish why? I mean, I sort of know why, but I would love you mm-hmm. to distinguish, you know, the especially the Los Angeles area Armenians versus the Detroit or the New Jersey or
yeah.
Why?
It's a smaller community, first of all, and so it's a little more intimate. The other reason is that because their ancestors came straight from villages in what is now Turkey, that's what they identify very strongly with and remember. Whereas in Los Angeles, you have communities who also have ancestry that fled and survived the genocide, but you have communities from Armenia, from Iran, where we're from, exactly. from Lebanon, from Cyprus, Jordan, Iraq, anywhere you can think of mingling there. And in waves of immigration that have existed from the 1900s until, you know, the 1990s and still today. And so you have a very, very interesting mix. And also you have your Armenian culture living as part of the city in the sense that you have bookstores, Armenian bookstores you can access. You have Armenian restaurants, Armenian shops. In Detroit, your identity as an Armenian is not on the surface of the city. And so you find that as a physical expression in less places, in the church, for example, in the ladies' guild that the church has where cooking takes place, and in bazaars that happen annually where all of the food that they cook is eaten and sold.
And so bazaars that are mainly as fundraisers for the churches
yes.
and the guilds.
Exactly.
Leonajan, one moment. I want to reintroduce you. Thank you for tuning in. This is Serge from Flavor Matters and Serge on Restaurant, and I'm in conversation with the Armenian writer, journalist, Liana Agajanyan, who has joined me from California. Liana, you raised a very interesting point. In Los Angeles, there is physical manifestation of our being Armenians through restaurants, through various groups, through more artistic gatherings, because the Armenian community in Los Angeles, specifically in Glendale, is a lot larger than, for example, the Armenians in New York, in Bayside area, or in New Jersey, or various area. And you were just discussing how you entered the Armenian community, the small Armenian community, which are direct descendants of Anatolia. And I want our listeners to understand that Anatolia references the central and eastern part of today's Turkey, which was populated mostly by Armenians historically, that after the end of World War I has become Turkey. So I want your experience, we're coming to a close to, for this segment, your experience in writing, your experience as an Armenian writer, journalist, your living in Detroit, winning this house and meeting this other individuals, smaller community Armenians, sparked various thoughts in you. And interestingly enough, George Martikian, whose last name is very similar to mine, George Martikian of Omar Khayyam, which we will talk a little bit more, led you to sort of solidify this idea in your heart and in your head called dining in diaspora. Did I summarize it correctly?
Yes, perfectly. Yes. So I can explain a little bit about that. Yeah.
You have about a minute. Just give us a little bit, and I hope you will stick around so we can talk about that a little bit more.
Yeah.
Give us a quick summary.
Sure. So like many people in the world, food has always been a way for me to connect with who I am and explore the world. And it was not until I got to Detroit to cook with the women there and wrote about various aspects of Armenian Americans who had come before me, who had made an impact on American cooking, that I realized that there was a bigger story here and bigger than just one piece, one article, which is normally what my projects are. And I needed to go find out more.
And hence you decided to create this blog, which hopefully will turn into a book, called Dining in Diaspora. I cannot wait to discuss more with you. Thank you very much for joining us. This is Serge from Saravan Restaurant and Flavor Matters, and I've had the pleasure of speaking with Liana Aghajanyan, who is a writer and journalist, American Armenian via Tehran, Iran, writer journalist who's joining me from California.
Flavor Matters is a joint production of the Saravan Restaurant and Robin Hood Radio. For more information on the Saravan Restaurant in Amelia, New York, saravan.com on the web.